Stuck at home, bored and alone, you'd think I could have some fun on my own, but I'm bored AF. I'm bored AF.
With Cecily and Stephanie.
Hey everybody, welcome to Bored AF, a show about other shows. I'm one of your hosts, Stephanie Wilder Taylor, and this is Cecily Nobler. Hi, Cess.
Hey. I have a question before we start, because if I don't just ask a question right off the bat, like, my bad mood will seep out, and I don't want that to happen. So let me just get us into a question really quick.
Okay.
I may have asked you this, but did you have an imaginary friend as a child? And if so, what was his or her name?
Maybe they were non-binary.
I was going to say they, but I didn't want to seem like I was making fun of that.
Well, now I'm pretty offended.
Well, I'll tell you mine. And mine was definitely identified as male. And this is really fucked up, because I was like, I feel like he existed till I was like 5.
Okay.
His name was Mr. Yellow. And I was telling Mike about it, and he was like, that is the beginning of every horror film I've ever seen, like, especially like a foreign, like, Korean film.
Oh my God, that's really funny.
Mr. Yellow says we shouldn't have meatloaf tonight, Mother. Mr. Yellow wants to ask you a question, Mother.
Oh my God. And did anybody think you needed help?
No,
or were they all
it.
Just like, how cute?
Super magical about it. It was Mr. Yellow, Tai Tai. I feel like Tai Tai was like a tiger. Seems pretty on the nose. And then another one whose name I don't remember. They were all male identified.
Uh-huh.
I felt like they were male. I don't know exactly what, you know. I mean, Mr. Yellow.
You'd really have to ask them.
It's just, I mean, I don't know where. I want to say Mr. Yellow came from, like, Curious George, the man with the yellow hat, probably.
Uh-huh.
I was probably just hacky. So it was like, just kind of stole it and made it my own. I feel like maybe. Because where else would I come up with that? Or was it a ghost?
I mean, you know, do young kids see spirits?
That's what they say. I believe so.
They say that?
They do. Me and Randy May Ames say that.
That children are just more tuned because we don't have biases of like, that's not real. Like, magic's not real.
I had a weird ghost encounter when I was little before I'd ever seen a scary movie. I'd never seen Poltergeist or anything like that.
Oh,
there
really?
There was a haunting.
What happened?
We had like a, when we lived in Waco, we lived in this really old house, really wooded, real cool, beautiful house. And my brother and I both had like hauntings. And then we discussed it years later. He was like, did you ever get a weird thing happen in the playroom? Yeah. Do you want me to tell you? I'm not even making
this
up.
Tell me.
I was not expecting to. Okay. I would play in there sometimes by myself. This was post Mr. Yellow. So this was maybe like age six to like nine.
Okay.
And sometimes I would play by myself in this playroom where I had like my Barbies and all my stuff, and my friends would come too and whatever, but sometimes it'd just be me for like hours. And I would get this feeling after like a couple, I would just get this feeling that I was supposed to leave the room, and I wasn't scared, but I knew there was a presence in the room and it wanted its like time back.
It wanted its space.
Yes.
It was meditating.
I swear to you. And so then my brother years later, like, he brought it up because he would be more likely than me to make something up for the drama of it, believe it or not. And so I never said anything. And he was like, he's like, I got a really weird vibe. And he had like a slumber party once. Like, he had people sleeping over, like a little party. And he said that lights were turning off. There was like a little thing on the wall. It was like a picture. It kept moving, he said. And I was like, I honestly normally don't believe a lot of things you say, but I believe you. Like, it was I don't know how to, and then it kind of went away as I got older. Like, I would just get these weird feelings. And they do say that kids, okay, I have one more for you. I have a friend who's a totally reasonable person. She's not like woo-woo at all. She told me that she has 3 kids. And when one of her kids was like 2, she said barely 2, said like, Mommy, I knew you in the other life. Now, you're 2 years old. You can't make that up. No one said anything to this kid. They hadn't seen any movies. And she was like, what do you mean?
They hadn't seen the reincarnation of Audrey Rose. they just showed their two-year-old that movie.
She's like, the Exorcism of Emily Rose, and they had seen probably The Exorcist, and then like, you know, know, a couple things maybe here and there. Jaws, like doctors do it. No, but she said that he wasn't even two and that he was obsessed. This is really going to freak you out. At like, so 1 year old, let's say 1.5, obsessed with hearing the Lord's Prayer. And she would read it. They weren't religious as a family. So she's like, I don't even know where he knew of this because neither she or her husband at the time were religious. And she would read it to him. And he'd be like, again, mommy. Like the, you know what I mean? Like
I'm finding that a little weird though. Like, so she's saying she wasn't religious at all, but her kid out of nowhere knew the Lord's Prayer.
Didn't know it, but like they had read it. Like there was maybe a Bible in the house. I don't know. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I'm telling you it was a weird, I'll get more information, but that's what she knew. And that the fact that out of nowhere was just like, this kid was like, I knew you. And then that I like something like saw a picture in a book and was like, elephants, I remember that from last life.
Oh my God. Well, how long ago is this?
I mean, 20 something years ago.
Oh, so is the kid still, yeah. So what happened? Anything happen?
They just kind of forgot about it. Nothing happened. There was the memory from what people say when if you read about this stuff about like kids who feel they were reincarnated, they kind of forget all these feelings. It taps out at a certain age because they don't remember anymore. But when they're really, really young, they say, I mean, some people, you know, could be just great imaginations, but it's kind of weird to me that like, I'm not saying Mr. Yellow was a demon that lived in my backyard.
I'm saying it.
I don't know, but there's a story out. In fact, let's table this. And next week, come back with some other stories of like kids, reincarnated kids and stuff. Cause I think that's so cool. I think that shit is so cool. Even if it sounds crazy, there are story after story of things that like these kids couldn't know. They'll say, you know, like they'll say things as like, I was in this, I don't want to speak out of turn. So I'm going to find these stories and then I'm going to share them.
I know you think that I don't like believe in anything, that I'm some kind of like hardcore cynic, but I love, first of all, I like watching documentaries about death. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds crazy, but I think there are lots of reasonable people who have theories about death or people who have had near-death experiences or people who have had, they call it death experiences, where you literally were dead, you know, and then they bring you back. And a lot of people report the same thing. And I take comfort in that. I take comfort in like, if there is something.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. I think that's a fascinating. I mean, now I feel bad because I brought it up. It's like, should we just talk about it now? But I want to bring up those stories. So maybe we just wait. This will be exciting. We're hanging you on a hook because we have so much to talk about today. We'll keep on track. And then I'm going to remember this and we're going to talk about this more next week.
Okay. Do you want to hear about because it's very topical because it's happening right now.
Yes.
Do you want to hear about a crazy Facebook sword? I think it would be exaggerating to call it a fight.
Okay.
But I'm kind of enraged about something that's going on in a Facebook group because people are just, I think you're going to agree with me that people are insane.
Okay. Tell us. Yes.
Okay.
Of course.
Okay. So I'm in this group and I'm wondering if I should say the name of it for sure, but it's a group, it's a support group for parents of trans kids.
Okay.
But what I'm about to tell you is not like a sad story about like somebody who's not being supportive or anything, but understand, I'm going to look and just see how many people are in this group. Cause I think that would help. Okay. There are 3,100 members.
Okay.
So it's a pretty big group.
Mm-hmm.
Private group. It's for parents of trans kids. I'll tell you what it's about. A loving and honest support group for parents of transgender or gender nonconforming children of any age, any persuasion, blah, blah, blah. So it's a support group and people write things and hey, this is what's going on with my kid. And then people, you know, write back and it's super supportive group. Mm-hmm. Tons of parents that are like, oh my God, I get you. Like, we're all here for you. That kind of thing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So this came up in, you know how this just came up in my feed. Let's call the woman who's posted, let's call her Donna. So Donna writes,
I always love Donna as a fake name, and I don't know why. It just makes me laugh every time, and I don't know why.
It kind of like, reminds me of a Karen. It's a little bit like,
it's kind of 70s, like Paula, or like, I mean, even though we have Paulas in our group and probably some Donnas, but Donna is always, can I just tell you really quick? It's always
it's
my
like
go-to.
A Barbara or a Joanne.
When I'm going, when Chip and I always used to go to the press screen, all the screenings, we would, sometimes they'd give us free popcorn and we would take an extra popcorn and pretend like our friend Donna was coming. And that, I think that's why it always makes me laugh, because it'll be like, okay, yeah, get one for Donna. And then you get one. And then sometimes we would save a seat because I didn't want anyone to ever sit next to me. Even pre-COVID, I just hated people sitting next to me. I'd be like, is Donna? Donna's coming, right? And I
would just... Oh, it's perfect. So, and plus then you figure Donna's probably a little older. Like, she's going to need some leg room. It's Donna, you know. She's going to be in crutches, some, you know, because of her knee.
So much of a backstory, though. It would always be like, what time is Donna coming? Like, is she in traffic? Like, we just made up. Where Chip would be like, you're really actually getting mad at Donna, and there's no Donna. And that's so weird.
Like, but Donna's going to want more butter on her popcorn. I know her. She likes a lot of butter.
And I'd be like, Chip, stop eating Donna's. Now we have to go get another one. We would just take them because they didn't really keep track. They would just have all the bags of popcorn out, you know, and you could just take them. Mm-hmm. On the honor system, which we did not abide.
Donna wants her refill. She just got settled in her seat, and you know, with her knee and the crutches. So can you just, does she have to be here to get her refill, or can you just do it? Thank you. Because of her whole knee situation, can you refill her soda too? I have to pay.
Like,
okay,
so just... bad at the person who works at the Arc Light. Thank you for understanding and not being like anti-disabled, physically disabled. Thank you, Donna. Appreciates it in advance.
Donna is going to leave you a really nice Yelp review. Okay, so this is from Donna. Donna says, "I was searching the group files and such." And such. What is that? What is that? What's
that
the and such?
Sounds like the Donna I know. Okay, and such because, and whatnot.
Oh, you're gonna hate this woman so much when I tell you that. I know you, and you're gonna be like, what? Okay. I was searching the group files and such because I don't want to break any rules. And I didn't see one about mentioning a business that could potentially be of help to others. My friend and I have started a new business, a new type of business called Hold. All in capital letters, H-O-L-D, hearing out life drama. We are, and then in all caps, not therapists. Oh my God. Randy May Ames is like stabbing herself with a pen right now.
Randy, we need you.
Okay. We are not therapists. And the back of our business card, the back of our business card says, quote, less than therapists, different from friends, family, or coworkers. End quote.
God, that's so weird. More than priests. That's so specific. Yeah. What?
Basically, we are a safe place for people to unload and hopefully feel better after. Okay. And please just keep in mind that she is writing this on the page of in a group, which is a support group, which gives support to other parents freely and happily, and any one of us would be happy to get on the phone or private message anybody in this group, right? Okay, so keep in mind where she's writing this. Okay, basically, we're a safe place for people to unload and hopefully feel better after. We aren't going to try to fix things.
Oh, God.
And then in parentheses, some things can't be fixed. Anyway, and if you go to a friend, they will likely try to fix things. But we are active, empathetic listeners. And yes, we are LGBT plus friendly. Me, for clearly obvious reasons. Hey, I'm here, aren't I? And she, because she is a good person.
Oh my God.
So if you would like more info, our web address, whatever, let me know. And if this turns out to be not allowed and I missed that in my searching, I apologize and will remove. Okay. So I write, I was the first person to comment. It had been up for 18 minutes. And I was like, my body was filled with rage because what you're going to charge people, you're literally coming into a support group for parents and going, hey, would you like my support? Because you could pay me and I will just listen to you. And also, bitch, you're not a therapist. Okay, like, what are you doing?
I want to know how much they're charging. Does it say on their website? Oh, can we look at that right now?
We found out $100 an hour.
Okay, I have to tell you something when we finish Donna's story, because I have a similar thing. You have no idea how many people try to take advantage of people in need, like, of anything. It's I'm sure you do know. We do know, but like, holy shit. But okay, so then what happened? So you said,
Cecily, people are such assholes.
I mean, what the fuck?
So I wrote, so you started a business where you're going to charge people to listen to their problems with no sort of license or degree, and you're advertising it here in a group where many people need actual therapists, etc. Mm-hmm. I think this is all kinds of wrong. Sorry. And so somebody responds to my post flagging the admin, whose name is John. So John, and says John should probably see this post. Okay. This just gets good. So then this woman named Kim says, I agree with Stephanie. I'm sure you're a kind and empathetic listener, but you have no qualifications to offer a service to people who are struggling. Mm-hmm. If you're truly just charging to listen to people, how will you respond to someone who is suicidal or self-harming? So yeah. The original poster, Donna, writes back, Kimberly, we have the National Suicide Prevention Hotline number. We'll make sure they have it written down. And we'll refund their money.
If they kill themselves, they'll refund. If they do end up taking their own lives, we will refund their money.
Listen, if they're talking about like self-harming, we have a number they can write down.
For $100 when it would be free to call the suicide hotline.
Right. So then Kim writes back to her, Donna, seriously? Under the guise of being helpful, referring to yourself as not quite therapist, but better than a friend, your response would be pathetic and dangerous. You have no business offering this service here. Okay, so then Donna responds, Kim, mm-hmm. I searched and didn't see anything to say I couldn't. We've had a fair amount of supportive people think this is a valuable option. Valuable option! As for, quote, here, if the admins ask, as I said, I will delete. If it isn't something you want, fine. Did you read our FAQs?
Oh, my God. First of all, for $100 an hour, why wouldn't you just go to a therapist?
Right. So Kim writes back, yes, I read your post above. You're charging people to, quote, listen to them, inferring that you are less than a therapist. Mm-hmm. That should read unqualified, untrained, and clearly not a therapist. That you hope that just listening will make someone feel better. I think what you're doing is dangerous. I think you believe you can just listen without bias or influence, but that is not possible and something that a therapist works on constantly. I think if your response to a suicidal person is to hand them a phone number and their money back, you risk doing real harm.
Yeah.
So Donna says, we encourage people. If they have appropriate ones to use friends or family in our FAQ. So Cecily, don't worry. It's all in the FAQs. Some people have no safe space. That's where we come in. And we consulted an attorney. Everything is on the up and up.
Because attorneys are really, they're, go on.
Yeah. So I pipe back in here because I was reading this while I was at LB's haircut appointment and I'm getting so mad. And I know Randy, I feel like you're in the room with me, right? I feel like Randy is like,
Randy should just I'm be gonna on cut the a podcast. Bitch. Why yeah, is she's like, not our third person?
Randy right now is, I'm responding through Randy, but way edgier than Randy would be. She's so nice. I write, Donna, do what you want on your own Facebook wall, but you're preying on vulnerable people with the promise of help for less than a therapist. Anyone in the group would offer to talk to someone here for free. I'm sad that you're so defensive and can't see this is wrong, even when people are pointing it out. And then I write again. I go, Donna, I encourage you to remove this post. Because she had said I encourage people. So Donna writes back, Stephanie, then anyone in this group wouldn't need our service. We aren't looking to replace the connections people have. They are valuable. Sometimes you just need someone outside. And she, the owner, I guess her partner in this business, vetted this with her therapist. If the therapist had any qualms, she wouldn't have moved forward. So
Okay. What? Okay, I'm looking this up. I want to look up this. I'm going to find it.
So I wrote, look up hold. Okay. So I wrote, Donna, then if you listen to me say that other parents will help for free here and you realize that this group doesn't need it, take it down. She doesn't. So then somebody else flags the admin. So then this woman, Megan, says, I find this in terrible taste. You've been in this group since 2016. You thought this was okay. I find it tacky and ethically wrong at the very least. Okay. And then somebody else agrees with that. So then Kim comes back in and she goes, the final straw for me is your fee. $100 an hour, exclamation point. And I write back to Kim. I'm like, what the actual F? There are like a million therapists who charge less. And like I said, our group is here to support. I've gotten on the phone and will with anyone for free. And then I'm like, why hasn't the admin gotten involved? So then we try to flag the admin. No one's come. By the way, this was 4 hours ago.
Okay.
And then someone else writes, I don't think this is appropriate for this group. Then someone else tags the admin. So then Kim comes back. I'm loving Kim. Kim is like Randy. Kim comes back and goes, so now that I've read through your FAQs and your very long user agreement, this is what I see. You've come to a place where vulnerable people gather to gain free support from each other to offer your, quote, listening service under the guise of being a helpful program. You have zero training, but charge the same as a therapist with years of training. You have no accountability, and you make damn sure that your, quote, user agreement to cover your ass if anyone's unhappy with your service or anyone is damaged by your service. And when it's clearly pointed out to you that what you're offering is available for free here, you still do not remove your advertising. Did I miss anything? So then this woman, Molly, writes, as a licensed clinical psychologist, I would say that your service definitely crosses a representation line and could reasonably be interpreted as a therapeutic relationship, despite your caveats. Charging for your services crosses that line. I understand your desire to help, but this is not the way to do it. Since you have no license or training, and I doubt anyone would offer you business insurance, you are opening yourself up and your family to tremendous financial and legal liability. I would take a step back and consider how you might better contribute to the needs of this community. And then somebody else writes, I'm just scrolling, but this woman writes, I have a master's in psychology. I do clinical behavioral services as part of my job every single day. And I could work private practice offering exactly what you're offering because it's what I have 2 degrees hanging on my wall and 20 years of clinical experience providing, but I don't.
Right.
And then Donna comes back. If an admin asks me to, I will remove, as I stated, you are all viewing with your own lens, which may not be as accurate as you think.
Oh my God.
So all these like mental health professionals have been writing back to her and telling her not to do it. And she's like, you guys are looking at this through a different lens.
I almost think my thought on this, it's so fucking ridiculous and terrible, especially if, you know, cause we're honest on the show. I've been looking for a therapist. I think that's very important. And I think it's important to go to the right person and that you're not taken by like some sham person, because believe me, they're out there. You know, and that really, it pisses me off, but I almost feel like Donna is like almost like a dominatrix. Like, you know what? You want to pay me $100? You can yell at me. It's almost what I feel like she's saying. Like, is that possible? And I'm just putting it out there. Like, is it possible? They're saying you couldn't do this with anybody else. You can't yell at your friends. You can't do this with like a therapist.
That's fine. This kind of answers that question. This woman says, Donna, I believe you have the right to have this business. I also believe this is not the place to advertise it. Your charges are ridiculous. With all the people on this page with financial troubles, people with the money to pay you will be paying a trans-educated therapist.
Yes.
Just saying. And I'm sure once our admin sees this, it will be down. But best of luck. I truly hope you're able to help people. There's just so much sadness. Just don't prey on our kids. Their mental health is delicate and important to us, and you have no certifications to help them.
Yes.
But but still up.
Oh, still that's so up. Weird. I couldn't find anything. I Googled it. Like, I don't know what to put in. Like, I put in, hold, $100, less than a therapist. That's what I Googled, because like when you put in hold, obviously, wait, what did hold stand for again?
Hold on. I will tell you, because her website is supposedly here. Let's see. Oh, if you would like our info. Oh, we have to let her know if we want her website.
Oh, interesting. Because you can't. Because how dare we actually look it up? That is fascinating. Here, I'll go. Well, hold. There's no way
she has. I'm so mad.
Yeah, no, that's fucked up. I will say, as someone who just in the last, like, I don't know, a few years, whatever, like, I've been, I'm not going to go into all this, but I've been, like, searching, as you know, therapist and reading about relationships. And I have never been, and I'm not putting anyone down, but I've never been big on the idea of, like, coaches. Like, I want to go to someone who went and learned, like, I want to go to a therapist, like a real, you know, educated therapist. And I think
you do? Why? Yeah,
and I see this a lot. I see a lot of people, like, I know this woman that you and I have talked about, and she's just nuts. And every now and then she'll just put up on her Facebook that she's like a PTSD life coach, but she's not. Like, she's not. Like, she didn't even finish middle school. Like, she's not. I'm not saying you have to finish middle school to be a PTSD life coach, but if you have, like, people's lives in your hands, and she just makes it up. I mean, no one falls for it. She's obviously, she taught, you know, she talks crazy, you know, but I was looking the other day and I, like, stumbled upon this, like, relationship thing. And I'm like, well, maybe I should try a different thing. Maybe there's specific therapists for, like, you know, individual people trying to fix their relationships and their lives. So I looked it up, and this one, I was like reading all about this stuff. And then it was like, for a one-on-one hour coaching, we're only $450 an hour. Yes. And I swear, because I was like clicking around, I'm thinking, well, maybe like $50, you know, maybe I just pay, you know, talk to this person and see what they know. And they seem to know stuff. And $450 an hour.
I'm in the wrong business.
Oh. And then they had you take, like, a quiz about yourself. And I did that before I knew the price. And so I took a quiz and I answered honestly. And then at the end of the quiz. Yeah. And at the end of the quiz, it was like, you definitely need coaching. You have trouble. And I was like, oh. So then I retook the quiz and answered the questions like a totally healthy person would answer them, you know? Because I've already gone down a rabbit hole.
You need our services.
Same exact thing. It was like, you need some help. And I'd answered it like totally healthy. Nothing's wrong with me. You know what
of
I mean?
Like, well, they're never going to be like, oh, you don't need our services. No, keep your $450. You're doing great.
$450 an hour. And that's not even the most expensive. I saw other ones where there's like little workshops. It was like, you'll get an 800-page man, like, you know, Bible on da-da-da-da, whatever. And that was like $1,000. And we're talking like a one-time thing. I mean, it was so ridiculous to me. And I was so offended. And I can't, and I can't, and it's so, you're right, it's so offensive that they would prey on like a trans group or people who are suffering from heartbreak. Or I bet there's grief groups like that too, where you could go to a grief counselor for free. There's free or donation only places that you can go.
Right.
By the way, our house is one of them if anyone is looking for something like that, and that's nationwide. But yeah, like there are people that prey on that too. Oh, you can't get over, or like, or just like medium, you know, fake psychics that are like, I can speak to your grandmother, to, you know, for $800.
Yeah, that's why I don't like psychics though, because you can't. How can you prove? How can you, if somebody's just being fake, they are preying on people who are sad or looking for their missing kids or like, and how do you, if the person's not real, you have no way of, they're going to go like, well, I don't know, I'm psychic, I guess it just didn't come through.
This is why I want to do ayahuasca. It all just leads to that. And I'll tell you why. Because because all the psychic, all that shit, all the healing that we want. I still believe in therapy, by the way, and I am still looking and I'm getting closer to that. But ayahuasca, it just opens all kinds of weird doors in your mind and it just does it for you. You just take some soup. There's a shaman.
You're take fine. Some soup. Don't you worry. There's a shaman. You're going to be fine. There's a shaman. Listen. You get a bucket to puke into. You're fine.
I have so many friends who have done it and they say, don't do it. Whatever you do, don't do it. But that all the doors in their minds open. So I'm like, why not do it? And they're like, it led to hell. I'm like, well,
oh, really?
Yes. I have fascinating stories about that. My friend, I won't say his name, but a friend of mine did it. I was like, well, how many? He goes, I had to do it a bunch of times because my shaman believed that you, he's a little out there. And so he did it 15 times. And then he also was like, but I'm over that. We do there's an African vine now that we do. Like that's the South American vine, you know?
What?
And then there's a different one that's from, yes. And
is
it's
this like different strains of pot? Like one's indica, like
Yes, instead of pot, it's, you know, like the strongest form of mushroom peyote you could ever, but it's not. It's even stronger than that. It's like, and I believe it can help people. I think it's helped veterans. Like, I've seen documentaries where it actually, when nothing else can help, this does something for them. And I'm like, all for, I actually really want to try it.
You know, it's funny because being a sober person, I don't know if I've ever mentioned before ever that I am sober.
You haven't, and I'm proud of you. I am. I think that's amazing. But that doesn't include ayahuasca. You could still do that.
Okay? Of course. But you know what I was thinking was that there's always like when you talk to people who've been sober a long time, there's always a drug that like you wish you'd tried. Like there's always something new that comes out that you're like, oh man, like I think I've said this, that I was always like, I can't believe I never did ecstasy.
Like a K-hole. You're like, I could have gone into a K-hole.
Well, that's the funny thing. There's certain drugs though that you never hear people like, no one ever goes like, oh man, I wish I hadn't gotten sober before bath salts came in. Like, I would love to like be able to like want to eat someone's face off. Like
that was just, I missed out. Yeah. Like, you know what I really want to do? I want to not know what like my roof is and think it's just like a trampoline. And then just tap off it. That sounds fun. No, that's a good, but I'm sort of drawn, and I've only done like, you know, little bits of things, but like I'm drawn towards those sort of crunchy, find yourself, connect to the universe kind of stuff.
Well, isn't MDMA like, don't they use it for therapeutically?
They do. It started out and they're kind of bringing that back, and ketamine actually, which I've never done, but MDMA. Yeah. I mean, it's better than any antidepressant I've taken.
Well, you know? That's sort of like how your brain, when you're an addict, gets tricky. Cause you're like, but I would be doing it for like, to like learn about myself.
Of course. And the problem also, if you have an addictive personality, then a microdose to you is different than a microdose to me. You know, they'd have to put it, I mean, what they're working on is basically using it to put it in pill form, like something you could take, you know, like a antidepressant that would actually work for people. But, you know, they haven't, I can't believe it's taken them this long to get that like totally approved.
We need them to get on it because if I could legally take a drug that would make me feel like, yeah, like life is amazing.
But it's not. Like it's like any drug, I assume. It's only like that the first time. Then you're always kind of chasing that.
Well, when I used to do coke, mm-hmm. And I know you've never done coke.
I haven't, but I've done a lot of other. Remember when I said I'd never done coke a couple times, and then one of our listeners was like, sure sounds like you have, because I talk fast. Remember, like someone wrote that in one of our reviews. They're like, she keeps saying she's never done cocaine, but she talks so fast. It seems like she
has. Oh, I don't. Yeah. You know, so I don't read the reviews,
but I have not done coke.
Well, then I wonder if it would be like, you know how people with ADD, like they take a stimulant, it actually slows them down.
Ooh. So should I try it for the show is what you're saying? You want me to do cocaine on?
I'm wondering if it would have if it would just make you feel like normal and good. Maybe. I think you should try it. Listen.
Okay, I have a kind of a bad heart. So I probably shouldn't do ayahuasca.
I have a bad heart. I can't do coke. Okay. Okay, baby.
Okay, I'll do it. I'll do it for Bored AF. But you guys, you better rally. You better listen to that episode. I swear to you. So wait, you were gonna say when you did coke. We can't get like arrested now. So long ago. Right?
Yeah. What if I was like, God, don't come and get me. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what I was going to say though. When I did coke.
Oh, I was saying you're always chasing the high with.
When I did coke, I feel like you're chasing. Okay. So you get really like, you feel great when you first do coke. You feel like, oh my God, I love this feeling so much. I want to feel this way all the time. But that only lasts 20 minutes, and then you're like, oh my God, I need more coke. And
Why would you ever do that then? Why if it only lasts 20 minutes? What a dumb drug.
It's so dumb. And then what happens is, well, this is why I stopped doing it, because I would be like, feel great for a little mm-hmm. while. Then I would feel this feeling that can only be described as coke whore, where I was like, I will do anything to get more coke. Wait, why are those two people walking in a bathroom together? Oh, they're doing coke without me. Must find a way to get them to invite me in the bathroom to do coke with them without seeming like I'm trying to get myself invited in the bathroom right now. But I, God, I need it so bad.
Because you had no money. Is it crash hard? Like,
so then when you, well, the come down for me was horrifying. Like, it was just, I felt like I was going through a drug withdrawal every time.
Oh my God.
It was not a good drug for me.
No.
But then the next time people would offer me coke, I'd be like, oh yeah, that sounds like a good idea again. Mm-hmm. And this went on for like, I don't know how long I did coke, maybe 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not all the time.
Did I know you then?
No. I had literally just moved to LA.
Mm-hmm.
During the first year I had in LA, I was getting offered coke a lot.
Right. Of course.
And then when I decided, I was like, why do I do this? Every single time I feel like crappy. I feel like shit. It's not fun. The trying to get come down is so terrible. I've got to stop doing it. And then I think I had some bad experiences. And then finally I was just like, okay, I can never say yes to this again because I just can't do a little.
Right.
Like, I just want to keep doing it. And then I finally made the decision. I'm never doing it again. And then I didn't. And then for some reason, I never got offered it again.
Well, because you weren't putting
out
in the
universe. And still
to this day. That's why. Because it was law of attraction, Stephanie.
Okay. It was on my vision board.
So you took it off your vision board. So therefore, what if I do ayahuasca and Mr. Yellow shows up and like shows me everything?
Like, well, that's like, what I'm banking on.
But that's probably what would happen. I mean, I don't really see what else would happen.
Here's what I want to know. Okay, let's say you do ayahuasca and you have like some amazing breakthroughs.
Mm-hmm.
But do they last, or are you like, I feel like I had such a good time doing ayahuasca?
No, I don't think you ever have a good time. I will say this. For both, when I did mushrooms one time, not that long ago, like 4 years ago, right?
Okay.
Just a tiny little bit. And I think, I don't know if I'm allowed to say, I can't say who is my guide because maybe he doesn't want people to know, you know?
But he doesn't want to get too much business.
He's a super popular podcast. And I don't want to, but he's really funny and he was a great guide. And it wasn't Marc Maron. He's a very, very popular podcast guy.
Listen, I think Joe Rogan is a great guy. He has a lot of good ideas.
It was Joe Rogan. Yes, he guided me. But it was not really because I took so little. But I swear to you, I felt better for 6 months than I had felt after the fact. And I only a tiny little bit, one rainy night. And I felt better for 6 months after than I had ever felt really in a long time. So it lasted. Like, there's something I think lovely about some of the natural, like those really like natural, if you just don't do too much and you just sit and listen to like the rain. I'm telling you, I'm not telling you should do it. You do not do that.
Well, then do you think that, I mean, are mushrooms illegal?
They're working on that. That's psilocybin. They're working on making that legal as well for like people in severe. That's what they're kind of, people are working on microdosing that too.
So do you think that the reason it's not legal is because then it would take the place of like therapy or antidepressants? So big pharma doesn't want us to be taking something that's like relatively inexpensive.
That's a good question because big pharma could just make that their thing. Buy it out. You know, they've got the money. Like, I don't see, I mean, I think that would be, that's often the issue, but you want somebody to take control because you don't want to get a bad batch of anything. And you want to make sure there's some sort of control over how much the volume of what's in each thing you're taking. Cause sometimes you don't know, you know, I mean, that's always, you don't really know exactly. And the mushrooms are a little bit better cause it's totally natural. Ecstasy is different because it never was just MDMA. You know, I only did it a handful of times, but you know, it's cut with some stuff. And you don't know what, you don't know it's speed or it's whatever. Like, you really don't know what's in there.
Right. I want to get my mushrooms from CVS.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, and I want so badly to tell you who my guide was. I'll ask
Why
him.
Can't you?
I'll ask him if I can tell. Because maybe he's like, maybe it's a secret. My guide. He's just the one who had, when I say guide, he's just the one who had them in his pocket.
Cecily, this is going to seem really weird. You are going to think I'm making this up, and that I'm already kind of mad at you for not believing me, but I have a vision board with that podcaster as my guide up on my wall.
I'll just, introduce the two of you. You don't even need the vision board. I'm sure he'll do it. But I love that I keep calling him a guide. Like, that's what he does. But like I said, it was just crunched up in his pocket. And he was like, you want some of this? Yeah. And then my friend who I was with was just not, he also did it. But like, I was more into like connecting to the universe. And my friend was just like laughing at tables. So We were just in different places. And then the other guy that I was talking about, he saw that I needed like to talk about the stars. You know what I mean? So he like kind of just came to the rescue.
Listen, that's what you need. You need somebody like the lady from the group from Hold who's just like, listen, I'm not a guide per se, but I can sense that you just want to talk about the stars. So I'm going to provide a safe and loving place for you to do that. And I'm going to charge you $200 an hour.
And I'm going to hold you not physically with COVID, but just emotionally and on the phone. Not Zoom though, because I don't want to pay for the professional Zoom. I don't want to pay for the, it's over 45 minutes and I don't want to pay for it.
No, I'm going to do it and it is going to be over Zoom. And the problem is that if it goes over 40 minutes, I've got to leave you. But
so go ahead and do your ayahuasca. If you can't get this podcast guy to guide you through, then I'll guide you as long as I can. Now, ayahuasca does take like 10 hours of unfolding. So you can just keep paying the $100. I can't believe how like
but I honest. Won't be able to do it over Zoom. Listen, I also I'm sober, so I personally haven't done the drug, and
I'm
have
a mandated reporter, so I do have to report you to the law because it is not legal. I am a shaman, but I'm not an American shaman, so I can't. There's just some laws I can't.
But you wait till the person's really high before springing that part on them. You're like, look, I probably in another world should have told you that this is, I've never done this drug and I'm also a mandated reporter and it's illegal.
I'm the sheriff of the small town that I live in and I do have to arrest you. Now, I know now it's not the best time because you are seeing your grandfather in another sphere.
I can't breathe.
I just can't believe we are being so candid today because I am in such a mood that I'm like, yeah, I did this. I did that. I want to do this. I was going to hire a dating coach. I'm not doing that. I'm not.
Listen. Okay. Here's what I want to say about that. I am not a licensed dating coach, but, and I kind of haven't dated in like, you know, a little bit of a while. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about how long. I have a lot of good ideas about dating and I like, I'll just listen. So
for like $500 an hour.
Listen, we're friends. I'm going to give you the family and friends discount. So it's going to be $350 an hour.
And just say what you want to say. And I won't say anything back. And I'm going to put the phone. I'm actually going to put the phone down and you're going to hear some other, we are having dinner. You're going to hear some other stuff going on. Don't worry about it. Just keep talking.
You're going to hear the noises of a happy family in the background. And I think that's going to inspire you to find somebody.
Because that's really been the issue that you just haven't been looking. You know what I thought? I felt like Charlotte. Remember that Sex and the City episode where Charlotte was like trying to get Carrie to go to this life coach person, like to go to a workshop?
Mm-mm.
You don't remember? I don't think you're as dedicated to Sex and the City as I have been. I feel like
I remember post-it note. Yeah.
You know that it's coming back, as you know. And so they leaked. There was a script leak. So plug your ears if you don't for like 1 minute if you don't want to know. Mm-hmm. But the script and they said, so it's coming back to HBO for like a limited series and it's called like, and just like that. Because remember, Carrie used to always say that.
Uh-huh.
And just like that. So that's, I love it. I love everything about it. I'm so excited. But they said that the leak said that it starts with Carrie and Big going through a divorce. And it's like, we don't know if that's true. And what I said on the radio, I was like, look, they tried to pretend they were leaking like an Avenger script and they had like the Hulk and Thor like and Captain America like in a throuple. So sometimes the leak is a lie and they're just trying to get you talking about it.
Right.
So, you know, who knows? I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine that Carrie and Big would make it. That's an interesting question. Not to take us off the drugs, but
I feel like if... Well, so this is the this is a show. So I feel like they, right. But then why wouldn't they let us, if that's true, if they're going through a divorce, why wouldn't they let us see that happening on the show? Because that would be interesting.
Well, the show ended. Then we had two movies. She marries Big in the first movie.
Right.
And she goes to Abu Dhabi, where Samantha goes, Abu Dhabi to me. Lawrence of my labia. All that happens. And then nothing, no plot got furthered on that one. It just was like stuck in a bottle, like a bottle movie of them. No! I think I've lost my mind.
So wait, but hold on. The episode where Carrie goes to, where Charlotte wants Carrie to go to a life coach.
Yeah, it's not a life coach. She's trying to figure out why like her love life is not going well.
Should I go?
Monroe, guess what? No, thanks. So she's trying to figure out like.
I like he does one for good measure.
Oh, there'll be more. There'll be more. And it's, I think it's my nice neighbor who like, we like each other. And so he knows that I'm doing this. And so he's telling Monroe to be quiet. I'm from the other side of the door. Like he's trying to help.
I'd be like, don't parent my dog. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, but no thanks. Yeah. Yeah. She's trying to figure out why your love life and she can't, and you know, Trey has left and everything's like falling apart. And she's trying to get Carrie to go to this workshop with her because she's like, you'll get a column out of it, you know? So Carrie doesn't want to go and she'll go. And then the lady at the place keeps saying, she's like, you're just not looking for it hard enough. And Carrie gets mad for Charlotte and stands up and she's like, are you kidding? That's all she does. Like, she's the most loving person in the world. She's open. She's open. Like, she's not closed.
Right.
You know, and then she makes her leave. She's like, you're not paying this woman. We're not doing this. But it's kind of exact like that's exactly what I'm talking about. It was like $1,000.
Wow. Yes. Like,
yeah. Why Trey left her, you know?
Yeah. Like, so I think what we're learning today is that I need to be a dating / life / ayahuasca coach.
That's what I was trying to put out into. That's what I put on my vision board. To be honest.
All the coaching?
Well, I wanted you to be my ayahuasca coach. So I put a picture of you. I put a bowl of soup and a shaman next pictures of all that. And then that's what I put out there. And look, here you are. Open to it. We haven't done our shouts yet.
No, we haven't. And we need to do it.
Okay. Do we, though? Well, here's our idea. And I kind of like it. This was Stephanie's idea, to be fair. We were talking about The View, which we've never talked about on this show, oddly enough. We don't really watch it. I'm going to assume we neither of us watch it religiously, but I tap in every now and then to see what Megan is up to. Megan McCain, because she's just so awful in many ways.
Yeah, she quit.
She quit, but she's on for like another 2 weeks. Like it was not effective immediately. Isn't that weird?
So weird.
So we do enjoy the fights, the ongoing fights between Megan McCain and Joy Behar. And we thought maybe we could do our shouts as them. Okay, so you're going to be Joy and I'm Megan.
All right, but I don't know if this is going to be a good Joy voice, but...
you want to cough a lot.
Yeah. Right. All right. Ron Halston. Well, first of all, she also doesn't let you get in a word edgewise.
Right.
As I know from being on panel on her show. Ron Halston, what are you talking about? Hey, my mom thinks I'm Jewish. I'm not Jewish. I'm Italian. Okay,
Italian,
Ron?
All right, Ron? Right? I mean...
And old schlager, you're stupid. You know, what's with your opinions? Kerry Waldo, Billy Lawless. I've been on the show a long time. Okay. I think I know what I'm talking about. Am I right, Whoopi?
And that's how. Okay. Is it my turn? Because Gentry Garcia and Margaret Wills and Colette Rock, I think they'll all agree with me that my dad is the only person that's ever been a dad in the world.
Get out of here. Michelle McKibben, Patrick Price, Ulysses, you're with me on this, right? I mean, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous.
This is not going as planned.
No, it's not going nearly as well as I pictured it in my head.
So I'm just going to finish it out. Maybe we just finish it out as just us. As ayahuasca guides.
Stroop.
How about this? Okay, we switched it. Krista Stroop, I see that you're going down a path. Okay, that's not going to work either. We have to. Yeah. You know why this doesn't work? We have to think it out.
Yeah, we have to plan it a little better.
And we just thought we'd go with it. And I just, it made sense to me. Krista Stroop, Jennifer, we're just going to say your names lovingly. Jennifer Falls, Ijon Vajapay, Kelly McDonald. Is that right? Kelly McDonald?
Randy okay. F. Whitcomb. You're precious.
Megan Medour.
Love you. Love you, girl. Karen Johnson Watson and Julie McGrath and Kathy Stearns and Stephanie Rinker. You're all very good people.
Same are you, Jamie Griffith, Kelly Vidmer, Jill Shaw, Sean Price, and Annie Sierra Buck.
Andrea Rocconelli, I feel that you should be very proud of yourself and the work that you're doing these days. And Mindy Bauer, you're an inspiration. And mm-hmm. Athena Ginshard, I look up to you.
Mm-hmm. She does. She talks about it a lot.
Yep.
Ann Paul, Julie Turnbull, Sarah Stefano. We just appreciate you. And we're sorry to the first people in the first part of this shout out where we tried to do Joy and Megan. We're just not committed today, but we love you.
Mm-mm. We do. Okay. I mean, we do. Yes, we do.
Two things now, we need to talk about. How much time do we have?
Oh, not very long.
What?
But so I know we're already at 50 minutes.
What if we took out the shouts? Because this did not go well.
Let's talk about Erica Jane.
Okay.
Do we want to, or we could talk about, or what else did we have?
No, I think we should talk about Erica Jane because it's timely. And then I have another thing to talk about next week. We have so much that we, don't worry. Let's talk about Erica Jane really quick because on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Erica she triggered a lot of people because as we talked about last week, just sum up, right? You sum it up. You're better at that.
So Erica Jane and her husband, Tom Girardi, it was in the news. Tom Girardi is a big time lawyer, and Erica Jane married him when he was already like in his 60s. And
yeah, she was in her 20s.
Yeah. So he's, you know, like 40 years older than she is. So, you know, we all know what was happening there. And she acted like she was so in love with him all the time on The Real Housewives. And then all of a sudden she filed for divorce. Mm-hmm. And after being on the show on The Real Housewives and talking about just how amazing he is and he's so supportive of my career. And
when I was doing Chicago, he really said, you're going to be a great Roxy Hart.
Yeah. I mean, and then so she divorces him. And so everybody thinks, and I'm including me, that she got divorced because she's trying to hide the... Okay, so Tom Girardi is getting sued because he stole money. He embezzled money from lawsuits that victims of plane crashes and other horrible
explosions,
things...
like really bad things. He got them millions of dollars, then never paid them, allegedly. Yes. So he's being sued for that.
No, it's not alleged. That's not alleged.
It hasn't been proven yet, right? Like, it's still an allegation. I mean, he's being charged. Not charged, but like investigated.
Yes.
So a lot of people think, obviously, that she left him to hide some assets so she doesn't get sued. Well, she's getting sued anyway. They're making her do depositions. She's part of this because she was married to him for over 20 years.
And right before they got divorced, he, quote unquote, loaned her business, Erica Girardi, like worldwide Erica Girardi or whatever. Mm-hmm. He loaned her business $20 million.
Yeah,
the only reason you do that when your marriage is on the rocks is because he was, and also he'd already known these lawsuits were happening.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very classic case of trying to hide your assets so that when they try to come after Erica, she can claim she's not the one being sued. He is, and he doesn't have any money. And then what happened?
Right.
So what was happening is he is asking for, not alimony, but the other one. What's the other one? Palimony?
Alimony? Yeah. Is he
palimony
from her?
Yes. Yes.
Oh my God. I didn't even know that.
So the reason he's asking for, is it palimony. Called palimony?
It is.
It's just all of a sudden
lawyers.
It sounds right.
Any lawyers wrong. Listening, except for the one. Let us know.
So he's asking for alimony, but the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
From her, which sounds crazy on the outside, right? But if you think about it, he has no money because all his assets are frozen. So if he can basically ask for money that he loaned to her.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like still his money in a way.
Right. And the reason, so we talked about this, the reason that we're sort of triggered is so she's using the show every week as a platform to plead her case. They're talking about it openly on the show like they always do. It's so staged. First of all, can we talk about how annoying Kyle, I'm more triggered by Kyle than I am by Erica right now because she's such
worst.
A bad actress and she always rallies around the wrong person. And she's like, she's just like So tell us about your problems. What's all this in the news? It's so obvious that that's all staged.
Right.
And so then Erica is coming hard. So the reason that people started talking about it this week was she put on obviously non-mascara, like waterproof mascara. And
yep.
came to meet Kyle and then was like, it's just awful, Kyle. You don't understand. And then cried and then mascara like dripped down her face. Now, she is a professional performer. She has a glam squad constantly with her that she's made a big deal about and how she pays them like $40,000 a month. Right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden, they put that mascara on her. So Camille Grammer, do you know about this?
No.
Camille Grammer goes on Twitter. Every now and then, Camille just pops up and throws shade and then pops out.
Oh,
she
yeah.
pops up on Twitter and she's like, I'm just saying, it's something to the effect of, I just filmed because they did like an All-Stars thing or they were in like the whatever they did together. She's like, I filmed something with Erica Jane and we actually went deep sea diving and her mascara never ran. Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
So Camille, yeah. of all people, who's also a nightmare.
A horrible nightmare, right? Yeah. But like, still, it doesn't take away from the fact that that was some good shade.
But I'm going to tell you something that's going to piss you off. When I watched it, when I was like in it, I felt for Erica and I believed her for a second.
Yeah, because she's a good actress.
She is a much better actress than I thought. And I wish I had seen her as Roxy before.
And because you have a narcissist mother and they have a way of making you feel like, oh, but it's something bad's happening to her. When if you think about it, these victims still don't have their money.
I know.
While she's complaining about her house is too small she has a bedroom for her shoes and one for her shoes and accessories, one for her clothes and one for her mm-hmm. and a beautiful big backyard. Meanwhile, she's like, it's terrible.
And it's in Hancock Park and it's like 3,000 square feet. And it's obviously nicer than most people would ever have in their lifetime if they pooled all their money together, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she keeps saying it because she wants the public to think, oh my God, she really has had to downsize from her. I think she had what, like a 20,000 square foot house with Tom. I mean, they were the richest people I've ever seen. Like, aside from Vanderpump, they were like the richest, I think, on the show.
Yeah. Well, rich, but not their money.
Yeah. Well, exactly. The total like scam artists. But I don't know what happened to me, but I believed her. I'm going to say something. You're not going to like it. Okay. I don't believe that she knew Tom was doing it.
Oh, she 100% did. She knew that there was a lawsuit against her. Unless she has no Google ability. Does she just not have internet?
I mean, think somebody could be that evil? I mean, maybe Tom could, but you think they both could be that evil of people that she knew he was scamming victims out of money, like purposely? I'm sure Tom had another story for her. I'm not saying that she should. I mean, she should have known.
But she knew this was a lawsuit. She already knew these victims were asking for their money. She's known this for a long time.
Okay.
Yes, she was not blindsided by this allegation. She already knew this for a long time.
For like years, we're saying?
I don't know about years, but at least for a year. She knew about it before now. She is not being blindsided by this information.
Maybe she found out and then she like took her time and found a lawyer and left. You know what I mean? Like maybe.
And got her loan of $20 million that she's now saying is her money.
Yeah,
and they better not try to touch it.
So
it's not her money.
But see, I have this hard time believing. I agree with you. I totally do. And I was embarrassed by watching it and feeling for her. I almost cried when she cried at a certain point. I was like, oh, she's trying to help.
Oh, fuck her. She's not trying to help anybody but herself.
And she's never
exhibited any behavior that would make you think she has an iota of empathy.
No, and now
keep in mind the thing that I got the most mad about years ago about when Lisa Vanderpump's brother took his own life.
Yeah.
She got mad at Lisa Vanderpump for having her feelings hurt that Erica didn't really reach out. She was like, I did reach out. I sent you a buck slip saying sorry about your brother.
Yeah, no, she's not a nice person.
Why do you think that she is totally surprised? You're believing this bullshit story that suddenly out of nowhere, she's decided that her marriage isn't good?
No, I know. Well, no, she's trying to say, and she's trying to go like all this time I was hiding a secret. He's cold and terrible. Like she's
right,
now
so do you
sort of
believe
saying,
that?
No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I believe it was an exchange of goods and services. She did exactly what you would think, you know, in her 20s, marrying this guy. They had a situation. She got to be the pretty, he got to have this beautiful woman on his arm, whatever she did for him. And she got all this money and her son taking care of all that stuff. Like, there was a dynamic there that is up to them. But I don't think that it's out of the blue, but there's just a little tiny part of me that doesn't, that thinks maybe it's possible that she didn't know exactly the kind of evil that he was pulling.
Well, she is not stupid.
I know. And then now somebody
she's not
said
stupid
on one of
and
websites,
she has access to the freaking internet.
Yeah.
And there is no possible way that she didn't know what was going on. Maybe not early on when he was first doing it. Maybe he, maybe she believed him too. But this is all lies and subterfuge. Her saying, oh, I found out he was cheating on me. Remember her thing where she came out and found something on his phone. And now she's trying to say that they're trying to get him out of trouble by saying that he's mentally incompetent. He's not mentally incompetent. We just saw him on the show recently seeming totally fine. And now she's bringing that bullshit to the show.
And you know, Bravo's helping her. Like Andy Cohen is, why is Andy Cohen backing this? That's what I really don't understand. Like they're definitely helping because then they'll show clips of him being mean. She'll go, all this time he was so mean to me. And then they'll show clips of him being an asshole. You know,
it's not that mean. He's just a stupid, grouchy old guy.
He's pretty mean. He's pretty awful. He's a bad guy. But why is Andy supporting this? Why? Because he wants an excuse to keep her on the show? Or
good
does
ratings.
He believe her? Or it's
good ratings.
Absolutely. You're right. God, I'm so stupid. Now I need to go. I'm going to call that life coach, and I'm just going to see if they'll take me for $280 every 10 minutes. By the way, I'm not trying to put down life coach. I don't want people to think we're totally like mocking that as a job. Like I know people
well,
out there do that.
Hopefully life coaches have some
they
schooling.
Have some training, something where we go, okay, why are we putting our life in your hands? That's all we're asking. That's
also,
all.
I don't think life coaches go like, look, I don't have any training whatsoever, so I'm not going to offer any advice or solutions. I'm just going to listen.
Right. Exactly. And by the way, for the record,
that would defeat the purpose of coaching.
I have a friend who tried a therapist and a life coach kind of at the same time to see what better fit his life and chose the life coach. So I'm not saying it can't be a thing, but yes, have something to back it up. Like don't just say like, I can't help you. I'm not going to try to fix anything. Here, give me $100 and you can, you know, whip me.
All right. We have to go.
Can I be a dominatrix?
I think you should. Okay, so Patreon this week.
Yes.
Tell people what
you
we're
guys,
talking about.
I'm so excited. Okay, I just woke up. Yes. First of all, we have another listener dating nightmare story that we're going to share. But I also promised last week on our Patreon bonus that I was going to find the guy that stood me up like 18 years ago. I couldn't remember his name or what the circumstance was, but I was going to find him and find out what happened to his life. Well, I found him. It just takes a couple clicks. So you will get an update on that. Please go over to our Bored AF Patreon and join.
Yes.
$5 a month. What is that? Like 30 cents a day.
Yeah. I mean, it's like for the price of, you know, helping somebody out at an actual like charity, you could give us money.
And we'll tell you some really fun stories. And believe me, we're charities as well.
Yeah. And also while we're at it, Becky Barris. She is one of our business shout out levels and she's awesome, makes great t-shirts and she will make you a t-shirt and you can put whatever you want on it.
Yes. And I just watched a video where she put confetti. Did you see the little confetti glitter video that she made? She shows how she gets confetti on her shirts. She's a very talented artist. You can actually find all her shirts that she already has or have your own made at justbasicbecky.com or her Facebook page, Basic Becky. She's amazing.
Yeah. Also, Randy May Ames, our resident social worker. Yes. She has a website. She said we could change charities, but let's do one more. You know what? Because we talked about self-harm today in our show. So I think this is actually very appropriate to talk about an actual nonprofit that is dedicated to presenting hope and finding help for people struggling with depression, addiction, self-injury, and suicide. And you know what? I bet you they don't charge $100 an hour. That's
no,
what
and I
bet
they have trained professionals that actually do help with people. And we've all been affected. I mean, we've all been affected by someone who's dealt with this. So you can go to
TWLOHA, to write love on her arms.com and donate or learn more about it. And then paying homage to therapists, my friend Julie Klayman, who is an actual licensed, she's been practicing for over 20 years. is an actual therapist in Agoura Hills, California. If you want to see her in person, or she also practices telehealth. She has a lot of experience working with teens, kids with a variety of issues, including anxiety, depression, school issues, trauma, family issues, etc. So let's get you hooked up with a real therapist. Yeah. Her website is JulieLMFT.com.
Okay, I want to say one thing really quick before we go. I know we're out of time, but only because that you said homage and I say homage, and I know Paul Marx is going to be upset about that. Because, by the way, did you see on our Facebook, he said that you said, I thought it was me, but he said that you said et cetera, and it's et cetera, but I also say et cetera.
I said et cetera,
It's et cetera, but nobody fucking says et cetera.
Yeah.
Don't you say et cetera?
Homage and homage are both both ways of pronouncing it.
I thought you were going to say are both reasonable.
Well, I used to pronounce salve as salve.
Me too.
And people really came for me on that. I looked it up, and apparently in Britain, you can say salve.
And that's everywhere where we all want to be anyway. And last thing, I used to think bless you if you sneezed was bless you, B-L-E-S-H-U, until like 6 years ago. So goodbye. Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
We love you. Thank you.
And we're sorry.
Bye.